Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. You're watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network audience. We give a big shout out to all of our audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat.
Hello, hello.
And John.
Hello, hello.
Man, do we have wonderful partners and sponsors that
yes,
stand with
do.
Us?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Talk to us, man. What is going on out there?
You know, I had a chance to be in, well, on the Gulf Coast, and in particular in Mobile, Alabama. And I'm telling you, I love our sponsors. I mean, I enjoy my time with them. They're so encouraging. And, you know, I was with Steve Barnhills over at Steve L. Barnhills, Peyton Body, and his daughter, Caitlin. Wonderful people. And while I was there and just you know, spending time with them, they said, you know what? We're going to give 10% off to VFN Radio listeners.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So is that awesome? You need any kind of work done on your vehicle? I mean, they do it all there. No job's too big or too small. You know, some companies, if it's too small, they don't even want it. But not this is not that type of company. Mm-hmm. They want to help folks.
I mean, mechanics are like doctors.
Man.
You need somebody that you can trust their opinion. Because your family's life depends on whether that car is going to operate or not. And there's people that take advantage. And that's what you need is somebody like Steve that you can go in there and say, here's my car. This is not my gift. I don't know how to work on it. Can you please fix it for me and get an honest price for an honest repair? And that's so cool so that they get 10%
off. 10%
off.
You tell them you listen to VFN Radio. They want to hook you up and take care of you. So if your car is smashed, they can get it back. They can get it back looking good. And I had a chance to go visit a new sponsor.
But you can find them now at VFNTV.com.
Oh, yeah,
of
course.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, find their address and go to VFNTV.com and select sponsors, and you'll see their contact information, even how to get there. So give them a call today. But I was saying that I had a chance to visit with Sue over at All About Sewing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've never heard of a sewing superstore, I want to let you know that one exists. And it does exist in Mobile, Alabama.
How do you think we get these clothes?
This is a super store. And they listen, and I've been to, you know, Best Buy and these different places where you have a whole row of computers. Mm-hmm. But I've never walked into a place until I did last week where you have a whole row of sewing machines.
Oh, wow.
They come, I got an education.
Yeah.
But Sue is a wonderful, wonderful lady, has a passion for God, has a passion for what she does in sewing. In fact, she takes a mission trip every year and to Mexico and teaches ladies in the village how to sew and put things together.
Oh, cool.
And her business is a business that's spread all across the Gulf Coast, and I think she even helps some folks across the country. If you need anything regarding sewing, believe me, Sue is your person because
anything.
She does it all. Anything. They can do it all there. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful encounter and a great sponsor. We look forward to having all their information up for you on the VFNTV.com. Of course, select sponsors, but we have some great, great folks, and I'm looking forward to visiting some more. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, by all means, please get in contact with us. We want to partner with you as you're partnering with us, and we want to encourage our VFN Radio listeners and those that watch the program on TV to make sure that you visit our sponsors. They're the ones that help make this all possible. And they're standing with us and standing with you as they're wanting to give you and get you things in your hands as well. So it's a really beautiful thing.
Well, Hungary is sliding back, according to CBN News, back to the Nazi era of anti-Semitism, which means hatred towards Israel and the Jews just because they're Jews. I want you to hear this from CBN News, and we got to talk about this. I want you to hear this to understand, and one of the key things I want you to hear about, what was the epicenter of creating this situation? And you'll hear it. You'll listen for it. Is when they did not have jobs, and they didn't have money, and they saw somebody else working those jobs. When it comes down to money, that reveals a man's heart. But I want you to listen up. You're listening to CBN News on Hungary sliding back into the Nazi era.
A memorial to the Jews of Budapest, who were rounded up during World War II and told to take off their shoes before being shot and pushed into the Danube. Hungary's Jews are fearful again because of a return of anti-Semitism. Hungary has been going backwards economically for years. Old scapegoats have come back to life in a nation that feels like it was flattened by globalization. Foreigners, bankers, and Jews. This is the kind of political ad that taps straight into the Hungarian psyche.
A bankoknak minden szabad.
Míg dolgozunk, ezek csak lopnak. A politikus bűnözőknek minden szabad.
Már félek kimenni az utcára. A cigány bűnözőknek minden szabad.
Nincs magyar áru a polcon. A mótiknak minden szabad.
It's an ad for Jobbik, now the third largest party in Hungary, and some say a possible long shot to rule Hungary in a coalition government someday. Far-right racist parties are fairly common in Eastern Europe, but Jobbik is different. Stronger, better organized, and offering solutions to real problems that Hungarians face. Even if they're the wrong solutions, and the boogeyman is an American-Israeli conspiracy.
You know, there is a joke in Hungary that somebody comes to a village and he says, is there anti-Semitism here? So they say, no, there isn't, but there's a great need for it. And so
Budapest Rabbi Shlomo Kovacs says Jews can now feel the anti-Semitism in the streets, although physical attacks on Jews are rare.
I mean, a society is not in a good state when people relatively have a hard time making a living. All these ideas, extreme ideas, can come back.
A Jobbik member of parliament has called for a list to be drawn up of all the Jews in government because he deems them a security threat.
They consider the entire Jewish community as the agents of America and Israel. They say that through the Hungarian Jewish community, Israel and America are turning Hungary into a colony.
Hungarian parliament member Pal Steiner lost half of his relatives in the Holocaust, and now, 70 years later, he receives death threats. But anti-Semitism hasn't returned to Hungary, he says, because it never left.
It's clear that Jobbik's basic principles are very similar to the Nazis, especially considering the so-called Jewish problem. And I need to stress that there is a part of the Hungarian society that has a secret sympathy for Jobbik.
Hungary's World War II leader Miklos Horthy, when Hungary was a Nazi ally. Last month, Horthy returned to a place of honor in Budapest when his bust was unveiled at a church. Opponents demonstrated by wearing yellow stars. It's now become very dangerous for Hungary's gypsies, who are more likely to commit crimes and are hated more than Jews. Jobbik started a militia, the Magyar Garda, but it was outlawed. Jobbik claims it was a service organization, but it looked like Arrowcross, a Nazi-era party that killed thousands of Jews. It's an open question as to whether Hungarian society is getting healthier or getting sicker.
Sadly, I have to say sicker because of growing intolerance, because of growing poverty.
We asked one of Hungary's leading political consultants, Viktor Szigetvári, if Jobbik could end up in a governing coalition someday, as some predict, or if they're too radioactive for other parties.
They are radioactive, but it is possible that we might have a minority government created after the 2014 general elections. And in this context, it will be interesting what role Jobbik will play. I believe that it is a no-go area, not in Hungary, not in Europe.
Jobbik turned down our request for an interview, telling us, we do not want to help you on the issue of anti-Semitism. Jobbik is dealing with much more important problems right now. The sellout of soil to foreigners and to oligarchs close to the government, the corruption scandals, the chaos in education, and the catastrophic state of public safety. Jobbik repeatedly denies that it is anti-Semitic. On its English language website, it seems to disavow some of the very positions its leaders have spouted publicly. Jobbik says it does not deny the Holocaust, but it also does not like Israel. We interviewed one former Jobbik member from a rural area who said he never heard talk of anti-Semitism at Jobbik meetings he attended. But we also interviewed a former Jobbik leader who had to leave the party when he discovered that he was a Jew.
The problem is that there are clever people in Jobbik. It's a two-faced party, what they say among themselves and what they say in front of the public. The other problem is that they are inciting hatred. They're poisoning the population in Hungary.
Steiner and others told us Jobbik should be considered very dangerous. And even if they never rule Hungary, critics say they're a legally elected party, spreading dangerous ideas. But Yobik seems to be only a symptom in a nation that is still clinging to old-fashioned anti-Semitism. Dale Hurd, CBN News, Budapest.
Amazing.
Amazing.
And you can, but this is the thing you have to understand, that outside, this is why you need Jesus, man. Ma'am, this is why you need Jesus. Because the sin nature of human beings in general. And you just, when everything's going good, you just don't know who you are. And what happens is you have tyrants rise up, and they have silent tyrants support them. Because you're wondering, how could this tyrant be getting any footage? How can they be getting any place in the legislature? And you find out, it's like, even though they're saying they're not supporting the tyrant, silently they're tyrants inside, because they're saying, if this tyrant doesn't get in, I lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, that's Budapest. That's Well, no, actually, it's Greece. The same spirit's rising up in Greece, because the economy's on the edge of crashing. All of a sudden, they're starting to see, you know, they're saying, you know, somebody tells you, hey, you can't get your welfare anymore. You can't get your subsidy anymore. You can't get your Medicare anymore. You can't get your Medicaid anymore. And then you look over at somebody who came to your country, and you were born in your country, and you, as a believer, have a choice to trust God and be your heart be revealed to you, that you've been trusting in your government and not God, and repent and say, dear God, I'm so sorry. I'm glad this person is taken care of. Or you can join with this tyranny-type mindset, and whether publicly or privately, and say, without saying anything, because silence in the midst of this stuff is worse than people that are talking out loud, because agreement, saying nothing is agreement. People begin to focus on the folks that are getting what you're not getting. And they begin to target on the folks that are being successful, and they are. And you say, well, that's over there. No, it's actually happened after the Civil War in America. When the slaves were freed in America, I mean, think about it. This is how evil human nature is outside of Jesus Christ. And an enslaved people that have been enslaved in America for 250 years. America fought for the right for all of us to live up to the Constitution, which came a little bit later, and said, all men are created equal under God. All men are created equal under God. And that no matter what our race is, we're all Americans, and we all have a right to be able to live our life. Mm-hmm. We have a chance for success. And so, of course, the Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil War came through, and President Abraham Lincoln that we talk about. And so all of a sudden, you know, the slaved brothers and sisters, I mean, God has just really poured history into my heart this year that I can almost barely talk about our history. It's just, I think he's let me, we've prayed about him letting us feel his heart. It's like,
oh my goodness.
I don't know, it's painful. And so all of a sudden he says, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give the folks who built our nation, a large portion of our economy, we're going to give them 40 acres and a mule.
Hmm.
40 acres and a mule. We're going to give them 40 acres and a mule. Mm-hmm. So you have an enslaved person who had no money, who was owned and sold, and his and her family separated, and they don't even know. You think about, you look at a lot of our brothers today, you think, why are you making such a big deal about family reunions? Because we had to find our family and find out who we were, and we want to maintain heritage like anybody else would. And all of a sudden, of course, since they are the ones that were actually growing the cotton, they were the ones building, they were the ones that had the wisdom and the knowledge of how things were operating, and these other folks who owned them just benefited from their labor. Within 10 years, they began to do really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Pope came all the way to one particular black American freed slave just to his place to be able to get his cotton because he had the best cotton on the face of the earth because it was his. He got his own land. He's got his 40 acres and a mule. And so at only 10 years, John Paul, 10 years, the very same thing you're seeing in Budapest, the same thing you're seeing in Greece, after all that obvious oppression in our face, Americans, potentially even the ones that fought for their freedom, because just because they said this is wrong didn't mean when they got into the northern troops that they actually were treated respectfully. They said, oh my goodness, they're taking our jobs. Mm. People are buying cotton from them instead of cotton from me. People are doing, and in 10 years they cut off 40 acres and a mule. They cut off 10 years trying to make up for 250 years of slavery. And it's like, and understand, for 250 years you had an enslaved people on America's soil, and we, of course, in that, and America became a nation over a period of time, United States of America, but still carried in, and one nation under God, and all the things that we talk about. But then it wasn't until, you know, Abraham Lincoln and that fight after the second Great Awakening that all of a sudden the Civil War broke loose, and then the slaves were freed, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, but realize that the America that freed the slaves couldn't handle what Budapest can't handle today. Mm. They couldn't stand to see a man blessed.
Right.
And I see that all the time. I see it today in the church. People who call themselves believers, like, you're so happy because you got money. You're happy because you got a job, but you didn't even talk to the lady, you know, sitting next to you for the last 10 years that needed help. Mm. They needed somebody to help her. You learn how to read, to learn how to get a job, how to be empowered. It was about your success, but all of a sudden, because that's how you think, if God shifts that and all of a sudden now she's the woman of influence and she's the person who's making money, can you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, this is how we respond. We want you to do good.
That's all right.
We want everybody blessed. And if you're blessed, I'm thanking God for that. I'm thanking God that you're prosperous. As a matter of fact, I bless you with prosperity and increase. And I encourage you and teach you how to keep that by honoring God with that. And I turn to God for my provision.
That's right.
And this is what happens when you turn to government and you turn to your little schemes and bail, basically, then these kind of things start happening. It's anti whoever's got your jobs. It's anti whoever's being successful. Mm-hmm. And the Jews were very successful in Hitler's day. They were very blessed. And I was listening to a particular Japanese. It could be European or Japanese. I can't remember. It was European. And they said, the Jews were a blessing to us. They brought us jobs.
Mm.
They blessed our people. They challenged us. They reminded us of God. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. And we burned them. Mm. And because of our political desire to be seen as fair, we've embraced Islam.
Wow.
And now we have 20% of our population is Islamic. They're not working. They're looking for ways to die and to kill others, and they're plotting inside of apartments that we're actually paying for them to kill our own folks.
Wow.
The ones who blessed us, we burned, and because of political wanting to look like you're some
politically correct.
Politically correct. You've taken down. You burned the Jews who were a blessing.
Wow.
And we're going to make that available to you. We're going to hopefully bring that segment so you can actually hear firsthand. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And listen, if you want to be blessed, and that's why we stand for God and country in that order, and Israel.
With no apologies.
With no apologies. So make sure you join our sponsors and partners and partner with us today. Go to VFNTV.com because, listen, it comes down to this. Who is your God? Is government your God? Is government your God? Is your king your God? Is government your God? Or is God your God? You'll know when someone else has that job and how you respond to them. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to check out of your marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and if you're in a place of despair, please know there is hope. Here's Susie Larson sharing her story.
I was ready to put the surrender flag up and give up on the marriage and just bide my time and stay. I can't even believe that's true. But that's how empty my well was. And that God would lead me to that place of wisdom where I really did have to die to myself so that I could live in this marriage. Profound wisdom right from the Lord. And it really opened the door to something. And I think that's where the tears come from. That in that death point, so many people would rather say death to the marriage rather than death to their flesh. And I thank God that he gave me the insight to follow through with what he was asking of me.
God's design for marriage is at times difficult, but it's also deeply rewarding. You'll find hope for your relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready, but the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I wish everybody out there a Merry Christmas. Pray a blessing over you and your family and your finances. Just pray that you'll just remember that Jesus is this reason for the season. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior, God, the day that God said, I will walk with you.
Come on.
I will send my son, and he'll be born of a virgin. I'll be the father, and man will be the mother. And we will walk, all man, all God, and fill your infirmities. and show my goodness and merge that into a place of such awesomeness that I'll create a doorway that if you walk through the door, my son, then you can enter into the family of God. I'll make you an heir. I'm creating a way that you can be an heir of mine, an heir, a joint heir with my son, Jesus Christ. It's powerful. Mm. Wonderful day. Day, I mean, Christmas just gets exciting every year, just remembering what God did for us. And you know, it is finished. It is totally finished. I was going to read you a particular poem. I may read it into the next program. Remember, we have four programs back to back. But I'm going to have to make it bigger. I can't. Imagine this. I mean, have you ever been send an email? It's different when you send an email from your computer versus sending it from one of your smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes even though you push send, it doesn't go anywhere. And they say, well, you got to pull it off of Wi-Fi to be able to send it, you know, through their system and all these different things. And you're thinking like, well, why haven't you got that email yet? And I'm thinking like this. Can you imagine, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the rapture happens and you're thinking, what happened? Oh, my goodness. I guess it's, you know, post-trib or something. What's happening here? And you're walking through all this tribulation and all these terrible things are happening. And all of a sudden your phone goes, bur-roop, bur-roop. And you look down, and an email comes in, and it says, prepare, you got 10 days, the Lord's coming back in 10 days. And it's like...
And it's day 11 or something?
It's day 11. It's like, what happened with the message? Like, I had 10-day warning what's going on, and all of a sudden, the email shows up, and that would be definitely sad, wasn't it? That would
very,
be sad.
Very. You
don't want to depend on technology for hearing from God. You want to spend time abiding with God, because somebody may push send with their technology, but it doesn't mean it's going to go.
No, that's right.
And that's just so very important. We're going to be talking about in our next program, You Got to Catch It, about technology. By God's grace, we're going to have some parts of interview of Neil Poston, how he talks about a technopoly, like a monopoly and technology coming together. But he even talks about, and what's interesting about it is he's a prophet. I mean, he's prophesying about the future. And we're in the future because he's saying this prophecy about technology in 1992. A professor at NYU, mind you.
No less.
And I cannot wait to be able to share that with you. By God's grace, we're going to share that and so much more on VFN Radio. I do want to say about Copy Products, we're so glad to have them as a sponsor standing with us, meeting your copying and scanning needs. Don't forget that you can go to copyproductscompany.org or go to vfntv.com and click on Visit Our Sponsors across the Gulf Coast of Florida, providing all copying and scanning needs.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at vfntv.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at vfntv.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. vfntv.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to vfntv.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. vfntv.com, click podcast. You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his Son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. You're watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. We are so encouraged today. Four programs back-to-back. Make sure you catch them. Joining me today is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about in today's this particular program about Neil Postman, and about a book called it's called Technopoly. Thank you.
Come on, get it out.
Well, I had to type and talk at the same time. I'm trying to get this up for you.
Lock it up.
Yeah, and some things that he talks about is so important because. I believe it was a prophecy that he was speaking because he understood technology and how it affects populations and how it affects mankind. And we'll be talking about it. I gotta look away. Can we slide that over
come
to another? There we go. Okay, great. Thanks. Let me get to pull this up real. Give me one quick second. And how he talks about specifically in it how America's new religion is technology. It's replaced, you know, who God is. And you think, well, how would he know that? He said it in 1992.
Exactly.
And then he talks about in this interview, we're gonna be able to have this interview from C-SPAN, just bits and pieces of it. You'll be able to see the whole thing on the VFN Torch. But how technology begins to change things. And and it's like, my goodness, he nailed it. He totally nailed it. People say that he first talked about, he wrote a book called Entertaining Yourself to Death.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about television, and we're entertaining ourselves to death, and so that happened. But then you had the people who grew up with the technology of television, who made television their god, their religion. Looking at the other folks in this generation who has made portable television, you know, portable media, their God. And so they go, I don't see you ever separating yourself from your telephone. No matter where you are, you're always with your phone. And it's like, I'm surprised you can see that because you've always been with your television. I don't know. And so this generation says, what you sit down and do as you do nothing, I live life while I'm doing what you did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another form of technology going on. But you do have that particular generation in 1946. But I first want you to hear, are we about ready? I want you to hear as he's talking about this, because it kind of brings up, you know, the reality. And it's Technopoly. Thank you. Technopoly. Oh, my goodness. And talking about how technology has become... taken over people's perception of life and changes a...
It was interesting when he wrote in 1992. I mean, we barely had the email out. I mean, this internet technology wasn't even available.
Right. And I think in 1991 or whatever. But first I want you to hear this first part of the interview. And you can see this whole interview you probably could see him up here on the screen. Can you put so that you can see who he is? And he's talking about this is America has a new religion now. But I want you to hear Neil Postman as you can just do away with that part and just throw it up.
All right.
Okay, let's listen.
America has developed a new religion, as it were, and the religion is its faith in that human progress and technological innovation are the same thing, and that paradise can be achieved through greater and greater commitment to technology.
What is technology?
Well, I have to define it in the book rather broadly, because not only do I include machinery like television and computers and all of that, but also techniques. I call them invisible technologies because most people don't think of them as a sort of machinery, but things like statistics and polling and bureaucratic forms, systematic and repeatable technique that tends to cause people to constrain their thinking about the world.
We talked a number of years ago about television. What impact is technology having on television, and what's the impact on the country?
This is he's talking about. This is like America's new religion. America's new religion, and this is in 1992. And we're gonna go a little bit deeper in this, but you know what? When you think about what is faith, and faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. The question is, what are you sure of, and what is your hope in? Is your hope in as Neil Postman's talking about technology, or is your hope in God?
Mm-hmm.
Is your hope in the fact that you will have the next greatest gadget that's going to help you do whatever, or is your hope in the God who gave you the ability to create that particular gadget or whatever? Is your hope in God to protect your nation? Or is your hope in your ability to have facial identification technology and these type of things that body scan and look for guns and weapons and bomb-sniffing dogs and all this technology, facial recognition and stuff like that they have? And the truth is more and more, Christians, but more and more people are saying, we just need to be more technical. And so what you're seeing simultaneously is you're seeing the more that mankind and Americans look towards technology as the answer instead of a helping tool, is the less they look to God as the answer. The more the technology is like, wow, this thing can... It answers my. I want this, and it gives it to me. I want that, and it gives it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I pray to God, and He's going to talk about this. And sometimes He gives it to me. Sometimes He doesn't give it to me. By the way, it's because God knows you. He knows us. And somebody says, he starts talking about it. He says, well, technology is going to give me the information I want at the time I want, the type of thing. And it's like, so all of a sudden, people don't pray and wait for God to reveal it to them. They go and just turn to technology to reveal it to them.
Mm.
Because it's not that you really know anything, you just have access to what other people know. And so you can start feeling like you're getting highly intelligent, but you're actually a secretary who works for a lawyer who actually has the skill to know how to be able to defend that case.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having access to his or her talent and the access to their experience and access to the book of knowledge and those law books. And it's actually the lawyer is the lawyer, not the lawyer. But just because you can, search for how a particular law and see how things work out, you're not the lawyer. But you can start feeling like, hey, I'm my own lawyer. I can defend myself. And they said a man who defends himself has a fool for a client.
Mm.
And just using that as an analogy. So technology, it's important for us to begin to think about, what Neil Postman is talking about is, in his book, Technopoly, that where America has a new religion. And this is in 1992 when he's saying that. This is 1992. This is the internet just got invented by Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't even a multiple internets yet, according to George W. yet, you know, internets. And it was amazing. But this is something very important here he's going to talk about next is, and you got to ask yourself, you can say what you want to say, but the truth is, do you have a paper Bible? Do you have a paper Bible so you and a piece of paper and a pen that you and God could spend time together? Or do every time that you are in the Word of God, and I'm talking to all 3%, 19%, according to George Barna,
yeah.
Do you do it in technology? Are you dependent on technology for doing that, finding things in the Word of God, or do you actually look? Do you pull out like an Unger's and a Bible dictionary or a
concordance
or you think about it. It's like, well, technology makes it so easy. And it's like, but are we building a relationship with God and His Word? Are we building a relationship with technology? If technology was to shut down, do you lose your God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to find God? Can you find God outside of technology? And if you can't, then that means technology was your God. I mean, you felt like technology was bringing you to God, but technology was being your God.
The scripture says that the glory of God is to conceal a matter, but is the glory of kings to search it out.
And
it
kings.
Takes time to search
right.
The revelation of mm-hmm. God out when you spend time with God.
Right.
If you're in technology, it's just like whatever, instant.
And then so many people panicked about Y2K and the red light shutting down and stuff, traffic lights. And it's like, are we going to lose? I mean, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've watched the documentary, I think Obama 2016. I mean, based on this particular King's College president at the time, he was just saying that the goal of the current administration is to take us back pre-colonial days, before things were colonized, which is like 1600 or something.
Yeah,
right.
And so, but the question is God still your God in 1600s?
Mm.
Is he only your God because you have technology? And is he still your God when you can buy food at the grocery store or you have to grow food in your yard? I mean, does he change who he is in your life? And next he's going to talk about in this interview, and you can hear the whole interview and see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. He's talking about, Anil's talking about, Professor Postman's talking about technology not only gives us something, but it takes away. It giveth and it taketh away. I want you to hear this because this is such a profound thing that he's saying here.
That all technological change is what I call a Faustian bargain. It gives you something, but it also taketh away something. Now, in America, and this is one of the reasons I thought I should write this book, we tend to be extremely enthusiastic about technology, about what it's going to bring us. So that almost any American, in considering anything from lasers to computers to television, can tell you for a half hour or more what this new technology will do for us. But there are very few people who have ever considered what a new technology will undo.
This is so interesting because we're talking about technology that, I mean, think about the Gutenberg printing press. I mean, it was a beautiful thing how suddenly, man had access to the Word. That technology brought mm-hmm. the Word of God. But also, not only were Christians able to find out about the God that they believed in and believe in the God that they heard about, but other people began to use the Gutenberg printing press.
Mm-hmm.
And after this break, we're going to talk more about the fact that not only does technology giveth, but it also taketh away. The question is, we need to ask ourselves, before we introduce the next level of technology, cloning, all these different things we're talking about, what is it going to take away? What is it going to take away instead of just being so excited about the next breakthrough? Let's learn from our past and realize that technology not only giveth, but it taketh away. What is taken away presently in the church's personal relationships with God and replace them with a perceived relationship with God. Because if technology was to shut down, could you even find this God you profess to even follow? If you can't pull up your scripture on your iPad, would you even know what to say?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. I am Greg Lancaster. I'm looking at a freshly shaved Pat over here.
Very fresh.
How are you doing today?
Lighter.
My day's tomorrow. They are getting new string for the weed eater. And
dude, I was so desperate. I actually let somebody else do it because my lady wasn't there.
That's desperate.
I was desperate.
Did you let Tracy cut it?
No. Older lady. I don't think she could see real good.
Oh, bless her.
I got like a hole here, a hole here.
No, it's called humility.
And I got
a
scar.
What's God saying?
And a scar.
I'm just saying. Let's have it. Right. Right. I think we have scars in all the same places.
Same exact places. On my shin, on my head.
Everything you said about me, right?
Oh, Lord, I repent.
I'm smart. You know, I'm intelligent.
That's right.
Come on, say some stuff. Say some positive stuff.
There you go.
That's I know, right?
You can't even think.
I'm smart and intelligent.
Damn beautiful. The audience is shouting.
You.
He's beautiful too.
Thank
He's
you.
Beautiful. He's beautiful too.
Yes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I wish all of our listeners and viewers out there a Merry Christmas, pray a blessing over you and your family this Christmas season. We're talking about Neil Postman's book, Technopoly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go right into this next segment because he's talking about faith and belief in technology systems has replace our traditional faith. He's talking about in this particular segment about how faith and belief in technology. Think about it. Faith and belief in technology. What's that? Faith in God and belief in God. But how many people is depending on their technology to be able to meet their needs? Like, well, I'm not depending on technology. Well, really think about it. I mean, think about how technical our life has become and depending on that. And our faith is supposed to be in God. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear this right now. Listen up, Neil Postman.
Religion. You talk a lot about religion. What does the new technology do to religion?
Well, I fear that our faith in technology has weakened a more traditional sense of spirituality. That technology implies a kind of rational, or I should say an emphasis on the rational, because technologies work. That's the wonderful thing about them. Airplanes do fly, and penicillin, I think, tends to make people better. And television does show you someone in some far-off place. So technology works in an unambiguous way, in the way that prayer, for instance, or even faith in God, doesn't always work. And I don't think all this began yesterday. In fact, in the book, I try to show how, beginning in, really in the 17th century, the faith that people had in a benign.
It's so amazing that you think about that, because what he's talking about, when you look at that, based on my understanding, it was a full interview, which you can see on VFNTV.com on The Torch, is that God doesn't give you everything you ask for. But technology perceivingly gives you what you ask for. So he says people begin to throw, his theory is, which this is 1992, so by the way, his theory has proven true, that people do. They do turn to technology instead of God. I wonder if the fact that technology wasn't around, would more people be showing up at the gatherings and hearing the word of God and understanding how can my needs be met? And God says, I'll meet your needs. Ask of me and see that I won't pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. How many people, because 97%, according to George Barna, don't even, they rob from God now. And his tithes and offerings, because they don't believe that the provision comes from him. We're going to get, I don't know how much of this we're going to be able to get in, but listen to this as he's talking about what happened with technology in Europe. Listen up.
Design in the world has weakened. And in our own century, seems to have been replaced almost in a religious sense by a faith in progress and progress through technology. We will reach heaven if we can produce bigger and better machinery.
That's so important, and we're not going to get the full interview in. Hopefully we'll get the rest of it tomorrow, is understanding that what he's saying that this is not good, because this is what people are saying, and this is what was said at the Tower of Babel. We will build a tower to heaven. And so he's talking about it's become a religion. Technology has become a religion. We realize now that we can reach the moon. We can reach the stars. And this was before GPS and all the other technologies coming out. And all of a sudden, we can actually create an economy, a digital economy, a Bitcoin, if you would. And we can have a new economy taking place, and we can track every sale. I mean, this guy, when he's talking during the fax age, when faxes were sent. And in this whole interview, he's talking about, you know, people still feel like when they're sending faxes, they're sending telegrams. It's like, end, stop,
wow.
In their statements. And this man is a professor, 30-something years. He wrote the book Entertaining Ourselves to Death, What Television Would Do. And in this book, it was so important because it's called Technopoly, The Surrender of Culture to Technology. So we surrender, technology has become our culture. Now, we as believers, he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, be not conformed to culture, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you understand, if we actually bow down and make technology submit to that instead of God, we're actually becoming a subculture of what's going on. We are not a counterculture. We're not still in the culture of God. And so we have to somehow understand. And we went through what we call the dark ages ourselves, learning how to integrate technology with our walk with God. I mean, should we use it at all? We call it the paper or plastic phase. What happens, it was so easy to manage so much information that you were convinced that you were actually able to accomplish something. But the truth was, you were accomplishing less with more. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And so we discovered as we got to begin to manage and say, use whatever technology that we can that does not override our personal commitment and dependency on God and being fruitful. You have to understand, being busy does not mean fruitful. Mm-mm. You know, watching 20 things on YouTube does not mean you did something. Mm-hmm. It means you did nothing for 20 videos on YouTube. That's it.
Right.
And that's some of your vapor. I mean, it's gone now. And so understanding this, it's like, man, this guy's nailing it. Neil Postman wrote this book, Technopoly, The Surrender of Culture to Technology. And we're going to talk more about this on tomorrow's program. You've got to catch it because it was so interesting because what he's going to talk about, and we can see it, and we're going to kind of expound on it a little bit even today, is that when you add technology to a culture, for example, in 1946 when they added television, in 1960 you don't have America and television, you have a different America. And that's what's happening. And so we need to take in consideration as the church, when we're bringing technology and stuff to use, are we leaving the original intent that God had for us as the church? Are we going to have technology submit to us? Are we going to use it for His glory? Understand, too, the Gutenberg printing press created printing Bibles, all this wonderful stuff. But immediately, politicians and other people started using it to put out propaganda, and Plato used it, and different ones were using it. Aristotle was using it and just, you know, doing all kinds of things. And we have to understand what's going to happen with this technology. And so we can use it and harness it under the leadership of Jesus Christ for His glory, as we do at VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Biggest shout out to all of our partners out there who partner with us prayerfully and financially. If you want to do that today, you can go to VFNTV.com and click on partner and follow the prompts.
To give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today. We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.